This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. As Northern Kentucky and Cincinnati see a growing number of HIV cases amid an intravenous drug crisis, one possible solution, needle exchanges, is being challenged by a powerful local lawmaker. Here to talk about that and more, our Hamilton County Health Commissioner, Tim Ingram. Welcome, Tim. Northern Kentucky District Director of Health, Dr. Lynn Sadler. Welcome, Dr. Sadler. And on the phone is Cincinnati Inquirer reporter Terry DeMio. Hello, Terry.
Hello. Thank you.
If you want to weigh in on needle exchanges, on the drug crisis facing the region, on the HIV rates, please give us a call at 513-419-7100 or email your questions or comments to talk at WVXU.org. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter, where we'll be looking for your comments and your tweets. Terry, I want to start with you because you wrote an article on a piece of legislation filed in Frankfort by Republican State Senator Damon Thayer. Now, Thayer is based out of Georgetown in Scott County, but his long district includes all of Grant County and southern Kenton County, so he's considered a local lawmaker. What can you tell us about this bill as it relates to needle exchanges?
Right. So Senate Bill 69, as it relates to needle exchanges, would limit exchanges to a one-for-one swap. So I give you one contaminated needle, and then the exchange project provides one sterile needle. It's something that I believe the exchange project does do in the greater Cincinnati area. However, even they, I believe, start with a kit with more syringes involved. And it's something that national harm reduction people say is not as helpful to limit the spread of bloodborne diseases. However, Senator Thayer told me he doesn't like needle exchange anyway. He's completely opposed to it, and one for one is what he believes is, you know, at least an acceptable amount.
But in the last session, he voted in, or I guess it's been a couple sessions now, he voted in favor of the legislation that gave Kentucky counties and cities the opportunity to work together on allowing these needle exchanges. What were his comments when you asked him about that?
Yeah, he said, well, it was in a whole package, a comprehensive heroin bill, as they called it at the time. And he said that you know, some of the lawmakers wouldn't budge on it, included, you know, needle exchange. So he reluctantly voted in favor because the rest of the package was important to him. In particular, I believe it was drug charges, you know, keeping them as felonies or making them stiffer felonies.
Okay, Dr. Sadler, you hear what Terry, and I'm sure you've read the article, you were quoted in the article, so you know what she was talking about, and you're familiar with Senator Thayer's bill. What is your reaction to that?
Well, it's been very clear in the research, and national experts say that a one-to-one exchange is not effective at stopping the spread of disease because it doesn't stop the sharing of needles. And a quick math example is if there's five people who are injecting drugs and there's one needle between all of them and that one gets turned in and the person only gets one back, they're still going to be sharing. And if one of those five has HIV or hepatitis C, it's going to get spread to all five.
So let's just, for technical purposes, help the listening audience understand what the different types of needle exchange or syringe access programs there are. Tim, tell us what a one-to-one exchange means for those of us who may not know.
So it's about taking dirty syringes off the street and then and out of the trash receptacles where they pose a hazard to children and others, sanitation workers and so forth. And then giving, turning those in, counting those out, and then giving them clean syringes in its place.
So it's a situation where if you're going to a syringe access program that has this type of policy, you have to have a dirty needle to turn in before you get a clean one. What happens when you show up to a program that has that kind of policy and you have nothing to turn in? Can you get access to a clean needle?
Yes. We have a starter kit for people where we give them 10 syringes with alcohol and all the necessary accessories so that they can prevent themselves from catching these bloodborne infections like hepatitis and HIV.
So I want to add a comment from Senator Thayer that he made to Terry DeMio in that article. He says he's philosophically opposed, as she mentioned, to needle exchanges. He said that he doesn't believe it's the proper role for tax dollars to be used to provide needles for people to engage and, in illegal activities. In a way, if this is a taxpayer-supported program where there are tax dollars being used to fund any of the work that's being done or the needles that are being handed out, you are using tax dollars to help someone go out and use the drugs. Why is that important from a health department perspective?
Well, first of all, for our programs, we do get federal funds, we get state funds. They cannot, the federal funds in particular, cannot be used for purchasing needles and syringes. However, we also have a number of foundation grants that we use to purchase those. But the state and federal government, all of us as citizens, have a vested interest in making sure that people are as healthy as they can be, so not getting diseases like HIV and hepatitis C and not transmitting them to other people. These are very expensive diseases to treat. And needle exchange programs are very cost effective. And there's a lot of other program services that go along with these programs.
So are the local programs, are they one-to-one then, the ones operated by your department, Tim?
We are operating on one-to-one. We convinced communities when the law was changed in Ohio a few years ago that allowed these systems to be become operational. We told our local communities that we'd go one-to-one, and we've continued to do that. And last year we exchanged at six sites, including a spot in Butler County, Middletown, and out in Batavia, and Claremont County, plus four sites inside Hamilton County. Because we run on a mobile program, we exchanged 353,000 syringes.
Since when?
But isn't it true?
From January. January.
Hang on. Terry, you want to weigh in?
I apologize. Yes, and I was aware of your one-to-one exchange and how that's operating. You're doing great numbers and getting people into the help they need. But you mentioned earlier that there is a starter kit, and I think that's the kind of thing that Dr. Sadler would talk about. Dr. Sadler, you can weigh in on that. But the starter kit is something that helps for the individual who comes in with nothing or with just one at the beginning. You're still giving them 10, correct?
Yes, our kits come as kits. They're not individual needles and syringes. They come as kits or packs of 10. And we have one program, our program in Covington, that is one-to-one exchange. Our Newport and our Williamstown programs are not.
So if you're a one-to-one operation and you're hearing from experts who say that's not the best practice, are our syringe access programs not the best practice?
No, they are a best practice. And I just wanted to add some specificity to the return on investment. So when and I hear this obviously I hear what the senator or the representative in Kentucky, his feelings are also expressed in several pockets here in Southwest Ohio. But if you think about, yeah, there's some public tax payers involved, there's some foundation dollars involved, but the people that we are, if we prevent one case of HIV, it pays for a whole year of operation of the Hamilton County Exchange Project, because the lifetime treatment of one case of HIV is over $400,000. And most of these people are co-infected with hepatitis C, so you can add another $100,000 on top of that.
You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. We're talking with Tim Ingram of the the Hamilton County Health Department. I apologize for that. And Dr. Lynn Sadler of the Northern Kentucky Health Department as well. And on the phone is Cincinnati Inquirer reporter Terry DeMio. If you want to weigh in on needle exchanges, 513-419-7100. Email talk at wvxu.org. 91.7 WVXU on Facebook and Twitter. If you want to leave a comment or send us a tweet, we can possibly get some of those on the air. So Dr. Sadler, I'm also editor of the River City News in Kentucky. So I watched you try to make this case for a long time before you actually got any programs going in Northern Kentucky. And we really didn't have any up and running until the press conference where we were announcing that we had this HIV cluster in Kenton and Campbell counties. Were we too late to act in Northern Kentucky?
It's really never too late when it comes to prevention. And I'm so appreciative that we were able to get programs up and running in Newport and in Covington. They're mobile programs. And one of the things I wanted to add on to what Tim was saying is, you know, these programs are about so much more than needles and syringes, and oftentimes folks get fixated on that. And I always refer to them as sort of the loss leader, whether you're getting one or a needs-based or whatever. Getting that person to come in and speak to someone about their drug use and enabling us to do some other services, some testing, some screening, referrals into treatment programs for their substance use disorder, a whole host of other things that we make a great touch point for people who are not interfacing very much with the healthcare system, period.
Yeah. That's a really good point. And actually, the law in Ohio is actually called Bloodborne Infection Prevention Program. So it's actually a comprehensive program. HIV testing and hepatitis testing is offered. Vaccinations are offered. Obviously, we exchange equipment, dirty for clean, referral to treatment, pregnancy testing, and so forth. And so it's a comprehensive program. It's a portal of entry of people who have come to trust us with this disease of addiction in order for them to talk with our folks, our nurses and our community workers that are on that van. And then when they're ready for treatment, we have a place for them immediately. Because the key out of this, our motto is to keep people alive by giving them Narcan, while we're preventing these secondary infections like hepatitis and HIV until they're ready for treatment. Because treatment's the key to get people in remission, because this is a chronic disease. It's a life-changing course for these folks.
And this was a point that I heard you make many times, Dr. Sadler, when you were trying to get local governments on board, because I'm speaking from memory here, but the way it works in Kentucky is first the health district board has to approve it, and then you need a county government and a city within that county, its government also, to approve a program to operate.
Yes, that's correct.
So you would have to, first you had to convince your own board that this was the right thing to do. I assume that was the easiest part of your job. And then you had to go to county fiscal courts. And then beyond that, you had to find a city within those counties willing to do it. So you have in Northern Kentucky, Grant County and Williamstown together on one. In Kenton County, you have the county and Covington.
Yes.
And then in Campbell County, you have Newport as well. You don't have one in Boone County.
Not yet. We don't have one in Boone County. And folks who need the services are coming to Covington, they're coming to Newport, and they're going to Williamstown.
So does that cost taxpayers in one county or another to help support a county that doesn't have what they could have?
No, our program is funded through state funds, through federal funds, and through foundation grants that we get. So that's how that works.
Okay, we've got a caller. This is John. He's got a question. John, what's your question?
I'm just wondering, as these individuals come in to get their needles, what exactly is being done to help treat the underlying drug addiction, not just provide them with needles to help prevent disease and the spread of disease, but what about the underlying issue and how are they being pushed towards health programs to solve that issue?
All right. Thanks, John. Let's take that. I'm sure you both have experience with this in your respective offices.
Our Grant County program operates out of our Grant County Health Center, so it's out of a clinic, and we have space and we have the ability to partner with substance use treatment providers to have a substance use counselor come in and be there during the exchange who can provide counseling to clients that come in that are interested in that. It works very well. It's more of a challenge on our mobile unit in Newport and in Covington just because there's not a lot of space for that. However, our public health nurses have some training and they do their very best to talk to each person that comes in about treatment, the availability of treatment, and connecting them to treatment for their substance use disorder. Because you're exactly right. If folks get into treatment and long-term recovery, then they're not using needles or not sharing needles. It's another great prevention tool to use.
Tim? Yes, and we actually, of course, we have a mobile a mobile operation that's moving every day for half a day in different places throughout Hamilton County and Cincinnati and even regionally. So our colleagues at the Cincinnati Health Department, they actually have a nurse that they place on our van. And like I said, we have three providers, treatment providers in town that will take a person when they're immediately ready to go to treatment. And even in some cases, they'll even go over and take them there so they're ready to go in, because that is key. That's the key to getting out of this epidemic of opioid use.
Terry, so these needle exchange programs arose out of the region's heroin use crisis. But you reported recently that overdoses appear to be on the decline in the region. Does that suggest that the drug use is also going down when it comes to heroin?
Well, yeah, but there are a whole number of things that are probably contributing to that. One is certainly that more people are getting Narcan and using it. That's the Stop the Dying effort, as you well know. And then in addition to that, the biggest change last year was to increase the access to Narcan, but in addition to that, provide these what they're calling kind of a warm handoff or guiding people into treatment, and that can come through the needle exchange, operations or through the hospitals when someone overdoses in a whole number of ways. So that's occurred. And that then, especially if it is evidence-based treatment, will slow the use and hopefully keep people stable. And then in addition to that, what I've been told by a couple of people who are in treatment, doctors in treatment, saying, we're getting more individuals who come here to us that never did overdose. What happened was that, they may have gotten an infection or they just want some help. They are familiar with the fact that on our streets now are these super opiates such as fentanyl, and they know they're getting them, and they're using a little more cautiously. That's not saying that's, fantastic. Fentanyl is hyper deadly, as we all know, but there's a difference. Like in 2016, we had people just dropping from fentanyl overdose, just everywhere, and thinking in many cases they were getting heroin. Now I'll talk to people and say, no, I seek fentanyl. I'm like, whoa. And they're like, yeah, we just, we put it into our vein more slowly. We're more aware of it. We keep Narcan by and things like that. So there's a whole bunch of changes that's developing.
So in addition to aiding drug users to be as clean as they can be while they're engaging in this practice, the goal of such operations is also to prevent the spread of the disease to others, whether it be HIV or hepatitis C. And now Kenton and Campbell counties, at least, were included in the list of what you're calling a cluster in northern Kentucky. You've had some cases in southwest Ohio as well that were above normal. How does it look now?
Well, I would take exception with the word aiding drug users. We're not really, we're helping them.
Aiding and help are synonyms, aren't they?
I
certainly didn't mean it as an insult. But
No. But I think it's important to look at it more globally. I didn't take it as that. It's just the fact that these we are actually trying to prevent disease in the general population too. Remember, the highest risk factor for the spread of HIV is actually men having sex with men. And what's happened here lately is we've seen a significant increase in the last 2 years among the injectable drug use population. But if you look at the demographics of those two groups, they're very different. So, yes, this is really about not only preventing the spread of HIV, but also most importantly is hepatitis C, which we see a lot more of, and then we have a real problem in southwest Ohio.
We've seen the state agencies, certainly in Kentucky, ask everyone, to be vaccinated for hepatitis C, Dr. Sadler. How big of a deal is this now?
Well, they're asking about a different hepatitis. They're asking to all
hepatitis
of us get
A. Correct. My apologies.
But,
that's right.
But this population is also high risk for hepatitis A, and we are in hepatitis A outbreak status right now. But as you and as Tim were saying, our cases of HIV among people who inject drugs has increased. It increased in 2017. It continued to increase in 2018 on our side of the river. But we also know from all of the investigation that we've done with the CDC Tim and I, our health departments work well together. We always have. And we recognize that we are seeing that there's transmission of the virus going back and forth across the river. And so that's why we have to work together to solve problems like this.
When it comes to combating HIV, obviously condoms would play a role in that. Does your program hand out condoms?
Yes, on most sites. Not every site, but most sites. Where they're on property, that is either public property or private property where we've had, you know, there's no issue with it. We do pass out condoms. There's only a couple sites that we do not on.
And Dr. Sadler, the needle exchange programs in Northern Kentucky don't hand out protection.
We do at our Williamstown Health Center program. We do not in our Newport and our Covington. We have a mobile unit that is parked in a parking lot of a healthcare facility that we are
it's
not.
It's St. Elizabeth.
To do that.
It's a Catholic hospital, and they oppose that. So that's why you don't have them there.
Yes.
Right.
However, we do a lot of HIV outreach. Condoms are available at all of our health centers, and we do a lot of HIV outreach to try to reach at-risk people, offer testing, and we offer condoms as well to protect themselves.
And Terry, the CDC was called in to investigate the HIV surge in the region. You wrote about that last fall. Have we heard anything since then about the status of that investigation?
Yes. In fact, Dr. Sadler and Commissioner Ingram put out kind of a joint release. One of the things that they continue to recommend is having needle exchange. Obviously, that's something that is proven to prevent the spread of HIV. So, yeah.
So do we know whether we're seeing results yet from these relatively new operations in the region and this sort of new understanding of and this new concern over things that people may not have been concerned about before, whether it be Hep A, Hep C, or HIV?
So I would only say that the work that CDC did at the request of our respective state departments, they were very helpful, and they pointed out a few things. And data is the key. You know, public health is all about data first. We have very robust systems that we're monitoring, just not HIV and hepatitis, but a variety of other infectious diseases, because our job is to make sure it doesn't spread into your family and or mine. And so we are using that data to actually expand our exchange project sites into new neighborhoods, which CDC made us aware of.
Tim Ingram is the Commissioner of Health in Hamilton County. Dr. Lynn Sadler is the District Director of Health in Northern Kentucky. Terry DeMio is a Cincinnati Inquirer reporter. Thanks to all of you for being on. The producer for today's show is Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Find archives of our program on WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks.